Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. How many of you know, no matter what we're going through, it can be well with our soul? Because we know our God is still on the throne, and nothing is impossible to him that believes in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, we're excited to welcome everyone to a night of worship tonight. How many of you are ready to just dive into God's presence? Amen. We didn't come here to just participate, just to sit back. No, we're going to enter in the game. We're going to really open up and worship. And I just want to encourage you to forget about your neighbor on your right or your left and just take a moment to just intercede and press into God. I believe God's up to some amazing things this year. And I believe there's no greater way to pave the way for God to move than for us to lift up our voices in worship and praise to his holy name. Amen. How many of you are excited about 2018? This is a special year. It's going to be filled with the miraculous power of God, and I believe that with every fiber of my being. And tonight, I just want to take a minute or two to just exhort you and to kind of set the pace for the rest of the service. And so do me a favor, turn to someone on your right or left, just welcome them to Word of Life Church. Welcome to a night of worship. Let them know how glad you are to see them. We're going to keep the lights just like this, and you guys can play behind me. I have had such a spirit of expectancy for this year. And I know I've said that, but I just want to emphasize it to you as much as I can, especially at the start of this year, that I believe 2018 is just going to be a special year filled with special miracles performed by the hand of God. And I just want to encourage you to get your faith up for that. You know, it is unto us according to our faith. And there's one thing about faith, and we said it this weekend, is it's got to be expressed. And so tonight, even during our worship, I just want you to express your faith. And, you know, we play our music loud, and tonight it may get loud, and that can actually serve to your advantage because you can lift up your voice in prayer and just proclaim some things over this year without disturbing the neighbor on your right or left. But I just want to encourage you to don't play around with this. You know, don't play around with the start of this year. Nothing great is ever achieved without enthusiasm. And I just want you to get enthusiastic about what God is up to in this year. God works with our words. He works with our faith. But this whole year, I've had an expectancy of what God is going to do in this season and what God is going to do in this time. And every time I pray, there's one word that comes up for this year, and it is that word special. And maybe that's a word that you can adopt in this season, but if not, allow God to give you a word for this season. I really believe one word from God can change absolutely anything for those who will put their faith in that word and begin to proclaim it out of their mouth. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if you just went around talking about how special this year is going to be, like every 30 minutes. This is a special year. Do you know this is going to be a special year? Just proclaim that out of your mouth as much as possible. But even if that's not something God is speaking to your heart, allow God to speak something to you for this year. I believe God will give us a word for each season, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak those words to your heart. As I begin to meditate and spend some time over the last couple of weeks to just kind of pray for this year and to just set the tone for myself spiritually, the Lord has really led me into something that I honestly believe is going to be just a key turning point for God wanting to do everything he's going to do in this year. And I just want to share some of those things with you. And one of the things that God has been dealing with my heart about is found in the book of Matthew chapter 6. I have my Bible here. I'm going to read it, but I know it's dark, but we'll have it up on the screens as well. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1, Jesus is talking here, and it's such a powerful, powerful chapter. He says, I want you to take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have, notice this, no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, how many of you can see here, you have a Father who wants to reward you. You have a Father who wants to bless you. Any of you have kids? I have kids. Do any of you just take joy in blessing your kids over Christmas and just seeing them be blessed by what you gave them? Did you know if you being natural know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does our Heavenly Father desire to give good gifts to His children? God loves blessing. God loves rewarding. But here he says, when it comes to our giving, he says that with this, if we do our giving in public and we do it to make a show and to draw attention to ourselves, he said that sets us up to receive no reward from the Father. He says if your life is just all about a public perception of who you are, if your Christianity, if all it's about is how you look to the public and how you look in the eyes of other people, he said the Father can't bless a life like that. He said God is so much more interested in something else other than the way you're showcasing yourself publicly. Watch what he says God is interested in verse number 2. He said, therefore, when thou doest your alms or your giving, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be done in, notice this, in secret, that your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. Notice he goes on and he keeps this theme going even in verse 5. He says, look, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to your Father, notice this, which is in secret, and your Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward you in public. He will reward you openly. Now, this is interesting to me because I believe 2018 is going to be a year where God does some public things. I believe this is a year where His miracles are going to be so tangible that the world absolutely cannot debate it or argue it. They see the handiwork of God all over our churches, all over our families, and all over our lives. How many of you believe that? Amen. I believe this is a year where literally we're going to fall on our knees in awe of God, that we see so much of a display of His power in every arena of our lives, from promotion to increase to His healing power. I'm believing God for just tangible miracles to happen in this church, in this assembly, among this company, this family of believers. And I believe it's not going to be things that are done in secret. I believe it's going to be things that are done openly, that are just full displays of the power of God, full displays of the majesty of God. But I believe that these things are not just going to happen in our church. I believe these things are going to happen in your lives. I believe God wants to do some things in your life openly. But here's the thing the Father teaches us, that in order for me to do something openly, I need you to do something privately. See, we live in a world that's so interested in its public life and its public perception. We place such an emphasis on how we look in public and a very selfie type of culture where we make sure the filter is just right so that the world who can watch us publicly is impressed with what they see. But God says, I look so much deeper than your public life. I am actually looking at your secret life. He says, your secret life is actually the thing that I'm looking at. And until there's some things done in your secret life, I can't do some things in your public one. See, my secret devotion determines my public promotion. My secret devotion, it determines my public promotion. I have a statue that's made out of nails that a welder welded down and kind of made these men out of it. A man by the name of Michael Barranco years ago gave it to me. And it's a guy made out of nails on his knees. And he's just before God in prayer. You can tell he's pouring out his heart to God. And then right next to it is a pulpit that's made out of metal with the same guy, you can tell, made out of these nails, just reaching out his hands and preaching the gospel of the good news. And it just reminds me in my life that if I want public power, I need private devotion. And friend, I want to encourage you in your own life that in every one of our lives, I think what God is looking for is our secret life. And I don't know what's going on in your secret life. And honestly, you don't know what's going on in mine. But God does. I'm reading the Bible through this year. And I was reading about Noah's generation. And it said that God looked over the whole of mankind and saw that every thought of their heart was evil. And it just reminded me that God is looking at not just our words and our actions. God gets even so much deeper than that. He looks at our thoughts. He looks at our intentions. He looks at our desires. He looks at our motivations. Did you know God knows if he's first? Did you know God knows if you're hot for him? Did you know he also knows if I'm lukewarm or if I'm cold? Like God, he sees past the flesh of man and he dives over into the heart. And I think what he's looking for is a term that's so little used now, but was used so much in past generations that I think we need to get back to. It's a word called consecration. I think God is looking for consecration in all of our lives. My spiritual father, he was a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. And he said, he's since passed away, going to be with the Lord. But years ago, I heard him preaching, and I heard him say this many times. But he said, I was praying, and he said, I was pouring out my heart to God. And he said, I was praying, and I was asking God, where is your power? Like, where are your miracles? And he said, I had seen such tangible miracles a couple of decades ago. He said, there was a revival called the Healing Revival. And he said, the only way I know how to describe it is healing was in the air. It was just tangible, and there were miracles happening and healing ministries that developed, ministries like Oral Roberts and Jack Coe and all of these other guys. Their ministries just blossomed up, and healing just swept over our nation, and people couldn't argue with the power of God. And Brother Hagin was telling the Father, I want that. Like, I want that for my generation. And why is it that your power was so much greater then than it seems like it is now? Your power, it was so much greater then. And he said, when he finally got still, how many of you know that's often when God speaks to us, when we finally get still? He said, when he finally got still, he said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to his heart and said, yes, my power was greater then. But he said, so is my people's consecration. See, consecration is where you're making a decision to dive into God. Consecration is where you're making a decision to empty out your cup so that God can fill it up. See, if I have a coffee cup and it's designed to be filled with coffee and I have an empty coffee cup set out, it's a sign, hey, come fill it up. You know, if I'm at a restaurant and it's empty, hey, we need to refill this thing. But if it's filled with something else, when the waiter, the waitress walks by, they're not going to think to fill it because it's already filled. And what consecration is just saying, God, I want you. I want to know you. I want to be like Enoch and I want to walk with you. I want to be like Noah and I want to walk with you in a generation where it seems like people are uninterested in you, God. I am interested in you. I want to know what your heart beats for. I want to know how you see things. God, I want to know you. Consecration is that secret life. See, it's not that public life. It's not just coming to church where everybody can see you here. It's that secret part of you where you know if you're really pressing after God, where you know if you really want God, where you know if you're really worshiping, where you know if your heart really beats for what his heart is beating for and what his heart is breaking for, your heart breaking for the same thing. Where your conscience is tender and your standard is a little bit higher because you're walking with Jesus. Like only you know if you're there. And I want to encourage you, this is the time and this is the season to get there. Because God is saying, I want to do some things openly, but until you adjust some things privately in your secret life, I can't do some things in your public one. Your secret devotion determines your public promotion. I want to encourage you to consecrate. And I know for many people that can sound scary because it's like, you know, well, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to die to self? What does it mean to take up my cross and follow him? Like, what does it mean? Like, what will it cost me? I think people are honestly scared of consecration because it's like, does that mean I can't watch TV anymore? Does that mean I can't wear makeup anymore? Does that mean I can't watch sports anymore? Like, what does that mean? Like, if I consecrate myself, like, what does that mean? And here's what I just want to encourage you with tonight. That consecration is none of those things specifically. Consecration is the attitude that says, God, I want to be fully surrendered to you. We mentioned this story this past weekend. But a man had a son who was grievously vexed by a devil. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you can do anything, have mercy on my son. And Jesus looked at him and said, if I can do anything, what are you talking about? If I can do anything, it'll be according to your faith. Basically saying it's not a matter of my power. It's like, I can do this. It's a matter of, will you believe all things are possible to him that believes? You know what the man says? He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He's like, he knew there was a part of him that wasn't quite sure if he could do it, that there wasn't a part of him that wasn't quite sure if he could quite get there, but he brought that part of himself to God too and said, God, like, I just need your power, and I don't know if I have everything, but what I am saying, God, is I'm throwing my whole self over into this faith game and saying, Father, I am 100% dependent upon you. And for you, the path of consecration, it's not saying like everything in my life is going to be perfect. It's saying, God, I want it to be. Yes. And it's not saying that you're going to do everything right all the time. It's just saying, God, I want to. Yes. And it doesn't mean that you'll never miss it. It's just saying, God, I don't want to miss it. Yes. God, I want to please you. God, I want to do it right. It's God, I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is my reasonable service. That God, I'm not playing church like so many other people are playing church. It's God, I want to see your power in my life. I want to see you move in my life. It's saying, God, I want you more than I want anything else. I know I may fail sometimes in putting you first, but Father, what I'm telling you is my heart. It wants to. I want you to avoid the temptation of you thinking you know what consecration is. And I just simply want you to come to God and say, God, I want to consecrate. Like in my secret life, I want to be hot for you. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be cold. I want to be hot. So here's my life. Set it on fire. Here's my life. Use it. Here's my life. Baptize it with the baptism of fire. Here's my life, Father. Fill me. Here's my life, Father. Use me. And out of that consecration journey, your walk is going to be different than mine. None of our lives will look the same when it comes to consecration. And this is where people have missed it. They start setting rules on consecration and saying, well, consecration looks like this, and consecration must be this, and consecration has to be this way. And friend, there are no rules to consecration. It's just allowing God to lead you on your journey. See, all of us are on a journey of faith with God, and that journey is going to look different for me, and it's going to look different for you. God knows your life. He knows you have 3 kids. He knows you got laundry out your ears and meals to make and all those things. He's not an unjust God. He's not going to come to you and say, I need you 5 hours a day to fast and pray. No, God's not unjust. He knows your schedule, and he knows mine. For Adam, it was, don't eat that apple. For me, it's, Joel, eat more apples. For Samson, it was, don't cut your hair. For me, it's like, God, could you please, like, give me some. Like, Anything, God, anything. It's different for Abraham. It was offer up your son. Can you imagine that? That test of consecration. I want you to give me your son. God's never asked that of me. For Smith Wigglesworth, it was don't even allow a newspaper in your house. Smith Wigglesworth was a man who raised, I think it was like 18 some odd certified people from the dead. Like they came by and saw, no, legit. Like this is not just the heroes. 18 people raised from the dead in his ministry. Such power in his life. But for him, God dealt with him about don't even just read the newspaper. Don't let it in your house. God's never dealt with me about that. But he has dealt with me about other things. See, don't come up with the rules as far as what you think consecration is. It's just you saying, God, I want to be consecrated. Like I want to be in love with you more than at any other point in my life. Wouldn't that be like the best way to start this year? Where you start this year off more in love with God than at any other part of your life. More passionate about his presence than at any other time in your life. More in love with Jesus than at any other time in your life. Worshiping harder in any other time in your life. Singing louder than at any other time in your life. Praying more fervently than at any more time in your life. How about we start this year off just saying, God, I am in the game. I'm not halfway in, halfway out. I am all in. And wherever you want to take this thing, you can take it wherever you want. Tonight is the night of consecration. Joshua came up to the children of Israel as they were getting ready to go in a promised land. And he said, consecrate yourselves today. For tomorrow, God's going to do an amazing work. He said, I want you to bring your attention not to the amazing work God's going to do tomorrow. He said, I want you to bring yourself to attention to the consecration you need today. And I believe our tomorrows are going to be filled with the power of God, with tangible demonstrations of his goodness and his grace. But you know what? That's God's job. Only God can do the impossible. My job, your job, our job is to consecrate ourselves today and take no thought for tomorrow. So tonight we're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. We're going to get before the throne room of God. We're going to lift up our voices. We're going to worship. We're going to praise. We're going to pray. Tonight we are going to consecrate ourselves. And tomorrow God is going to do some amazing works in us, through us, and around us. Come on, everyone. Let's stand to our feet all over this place. Worship team, you guys can come back out. Let's sing There Is No Striving first. Come on now, guys. I want you to just sing at the top of your lungs. Worship at the top of your lungs. Let's leave this place here tonight. Consecrate it to God. Make it your personal choice. Let's worship him.